بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I keep on saying the same thing again and again. My apologies, but this is this is the thing about fundamentals. If you're going to talk about them, there is nothing new. I mean, we have to talk about them because they are so important. And that is the importance of adab, the importance of the right approach to the acquisition of knowledge of Islam. Now, I cannot possibly overemphasize that. Now, by adab is not simply meant, saying salam alaikum or standing up when somebody elderly comes into the room or wearing a topi in front of your ustad or something. That's not, these are all signs of adab, but these are external, signs. But a real adab is inside the heart, and that is the way in which we approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. When I say approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean every thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every act of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whatever form it might take, how do we approach that? With what in our heart do we approach that? Again, I'm not looking for either in myself or in you, much less in you, of course. I'm not looking for some answer within quotes to this. I am suggesting that we reflect on it in our own hearts and say, what happens to me when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is mentioned? What happens to me when I read the Quran or when I listen to the Quran? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what should happen. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the verily and truly the mu'mineen, the real believers, are those who, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned before them, their hearts shiver with the glory and awe and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Something happens to the heart. The heart does not remain the way it was, whatever that way was. Something happens to the heart. There is some taghayyur in the heart. Now, does that happen or not? That is the thing to check for ourselves. Because believe me, this is so beautiful, because nobody can know except you and Allah. I cannot know about you, and you cannot know about me. Nobody, no one, no matter how close somebody is to you, we cannot know. Even if somebody is, even if you see them weeping, even if you see tears in their eyes flowing down their cheeks, still, with complete certainty, you cannot say that those tears are real. You cannot say by looking at somebody else that those tears are real. They could be real, they could be, acting, right? And that's why this is not about pointing fingers at others. It's not about judging others. It's about looking at yourself and saying, where do I stand on this thing? What is my situation? Now, this is the essence of adab. The essence of adab is, how do we approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we say approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first and foremost approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through His kalam. Because this is the closest that we can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His didar, for His ru'ya, for us to be granted the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu when we meet Him. But for now, for this life, the closest we can come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through His attribute of kalam, His speech, which is the Quran al-Kareem. This is the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He spoke to Jibreel alayhi salam in a way that pleases His majesty and grace. We don't ask, how did He speak? We don't know. We don't need to know. We know this is His speech. And whichever way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has of conveying that, this is good for Him. And we do not ask about that, because it is one of those questions which nobody can answer. So He conveyed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke this to Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam spoke this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke this to us, to the Sahaba. And through them it came down the centuries to us, completely and totally protected, unaltered, unchanged, exactly how it was conveyed. to the extent, and this is the one of the many signs and evidence, pieces of evidence of the truthfulness and the integrity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even if you look at it grammatically speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Qul hu Allahu ahad." Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's saying, "Say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So logically speaking, what should Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have done? Right? He should have said, he should have omitted Qul, because say to them is what Allah is telling him. Right? So, supposing I say, say to this person, bring that book. So, what will you say to that person? If you are going to be truthful to what I have told you, I say, say to the person, say to him, bring that book. Tell him to bring that book. You won't just say to him. Say, tell him to bring that book. So, what will you say to that person? You will say, bring the book. You will not say, tell him to bring the book. Right? Logically speaking. So Allah is saying, Qul hu Allahu ahad. Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and ahad is the uniqueness, the oneness is even more established than wahid. Because for wahid there is ithnain, there is two, but for ahad there is no two. So here Allah is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, Allah is one. What does he do? He says, Qul hu Allahu ahad. Now tell me, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew Arabic, right? He didn't know how to write and read, but he was a great orator. He spoke the language in its beautiful original form, because he learnt it from where he was brought up in the desert. He was sent there. One of the reasons was also for the purification and the preservation of the purity of the language. He knew all this. So he knew that when he's saying Qul hu Allahu ahad, he is, you know, that grammatically speaking, it is not necessary to say it like that. If he had simply said Allahu ahad, this was enough. But he didn't do that. He conveyed the kalam of Allah exactly as it was revealed. Right? Exactly as it was revealed. In Surah Abasa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma. Now here, there is a reminder to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here is an incident that happened when the blind sahabi, Abdullah bin Umar Maktoum, radiallahu anhu, he came in to the masjid and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to some of the non-Muslims, the people of the Quraysh. He was trying to, you know, present Islam to them. And he got a little bit, maybe irritated is probably too strong a word, but I'm speaking and someone calls, and we say, well, why is this man interrupting? So Rasulullah turned towards his sahabi who was blind. And remember, the sahabi is blind. The sahabi does not know what's happening. The sahabi cannot see the expression, the frown on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw the frown. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he frowned. Meaning, you should not have frowned. And maybe that man is going to get hidayah. That man is going to be guided much better than the people you are speaking to. Now, here is, if you look at it, here is something that refers directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in a way it is critical, and it really does not concern anybody else. And on top of all that, the person who was the only direct person who was involved, Abdullah Maktoum, radhiyallahu anhu, he didn't even see it because he was blind. So it's not even to say, well, you know, maybe that person was hurt because of this frown, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is patching up things. No. Yet, when the ayat was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated the ayat exactly as it was revealed. Now, this is the glory and majesty of Allah. Where it was his kalam, the kitab of Allah, his speech of Allah is preserved exactly as it was revealed. Now, my point is where I began from. The adab of approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consists of reflecting on this. Before we even open the Quran, before we even start reciting, reflect on this and say, what is this thing in my hand? What is it that I am going to now recite? Try and let that sink into your heart. This is the meaning of adab. This is where it starts. To reflect on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me, chose me in whatever situation that I am in to recite something which He spoke and which the best of the angels spoke and which the best of all creation spoke. And now it is my turn. My brothers and sisters, I advise myself and you, I remind myself and you, let us learn adab. Because without a foundation, it's like building a castle on the sand. One wave and it collapses. We need to find the rock, and that rock is the tawheed of Allah. It is the khashyat of Allah. It is the feeling of the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. And then build our deen on that rock. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ اجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ